How's it going, everyone? I am Adam Bongiovanni, and I hear... Oh, but see, I'm already messing up. Not even before I say the MTV reality rehappa part. All right, I'm not cutting. We're continuing. I'm Adam Bongiovanni, and I am here with the MTV reality rehappa podcast. There we go. See, I got it. And I am here with the wonderful Amon Adwin. Amon, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm so pumped that Ali asked me to come and join this podcast. I know that she's doing a lot right now trying to become a lawyer. So I'm just so happy that I got asked and that I was thought of and that I am reunited with my fellow team, Alex Kidwell, teammate from the So You Think You Can podcast competition. I know,
the competition that everyone still talks about to this day. It's an extremely popular competition. So You Think You Can podcast. I know we were on the same team, and we were talking about this before. We were a perfect match long before any of these castmates on Are You the One were.
Yes, we are. I guess.
I'm so excited to do this podcast with you. I feel like as a straight white male, I didn't offer. I feel like the whole season's about representation, and I feel like I'm everywhere on TV. There's a bunch of straight white guys, so I think that me doing the podcast alone would have been an injustice to the show we're covering. So I'm so happy to have you on.
I'm glad to be here. I mean, it's great, you know, representation is king nowadays. Yep. You know what I mean? Yep. It's very essential, and I think that's I'm glad that it's something that is, you know, being talked about and is being enacted upon. And as much as I love the straight white people, you know, sometimes, you know, you need a little chocolate up in there. So.
Yeah, we need a flavor. We've seen enough straight white people on TV. So only 50% of this podcast is straight and white. So I hope that's not too much for people, but you know what? It's what we're going with. So let's jump right into your history with Are You the One. I feel like I've kind of discussed it before. I look at Are You the One as like, I love Survivor, I love Big Brother. Are You the One? Like the fun kind of like sideshow that you don't take too seriously. Have you watched since the beginning or kind of a newer fan?
So I'm definitely a new-ish fan. So I think I started like around season, I think it was like season 4 is when I first started watching.
Me too. That was my first season, and I went back and rewatched. So we're in the same boat. So we're both newish fans.
Yeah. You're a little bit more diligent than I was. I didn't go back and watch the first 3 seasons, but I did watch season 4, 5, and 6. Fell off for 7, but now I'm back. So
yeah, that's all that matters. You're back, and I think this is obviously the most important season they've done. I don't think there's been anything like this on TV before, where you're throwing a bunch of sexually fluid people in the house, and they don't know if their perfect match is going to be a guy or girl. I think that's awesome, and it really is unlike anything we've ever seen. Are there any other shows remotely close to this?
I mean, the only thing that I can really think of is like the closest thing is like freaking A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila.
Yes.
But even then, that was like, they were, you know, most of the women on the show were just lesbians, while Tila Tequila was the one that was bi and, you know, had her pick of the litter. But interestingly enough, I think that some of the lesbians and straight men ended up hooking up. So then you had more bi women on the show than you actually thought were there. So I think that's the only thing I can think of, you know, and that show within itself is kind of dated. So I'm not really sure there's anything like currently on TV that's even at the level of this season of Are You the One. So I'm very excited. It's novel as shit right now. Like it's interesting.
It really is. And I think I'm really happy that I understand MTV be the network to kind of do this. Like MTV is extremely progressive, and I'm happy that we're able to cover such a historical show, because as much of a shit show as it is, it's doing something that a lot of other networks are afraid to do, and it's giving representation to people who usually aren't represented on TV. So I'm really excited to cover this season.
So me too. Glad to be a part of the ride. I'm super, super dope.
Yep. Okay. So let's jump right into it. Off the bat, like, let's go over the cast. They all kind of move in. It's a weird, there's no like real order to it. It's kind of just like, all right, we're going to release like 2 into the wild at a time. And they're just going to make their way into the house. I think the first person we saw was like Carrie, Jenna, and Basit. And, the 3 of them, Carrie is the blonde chick, right? She's blonde. They keep calling her Lady Gaga. So I don't know. Did you see that? I didn't really see Gaga on her.
I mean, now that you said it, I guess. I mean,
I saw like Kesha. I feel like she looks more like Kesha.
Yeah, let me pull up this chick's photo one more time.
Yeah, pull up her picture, because I swear I saw Kesha more than Gaga. And I maybe they're not too. I guess they kind of look like two, but
I can kind of see what they're going for Gaga. Like,
it's not too far fetched, I guess.
It's like, you know, like Lady Gaga's like third cousin twice.
Yeah,
removed.
Yeah, yeah. That's perfect. That's the perfect description. And maybe she has musical talent. I don't know. We'll see some. All right. So we got Jenna. I feel like at first Jenna was kind of like, I don't know. She was just there. Like she was there the whole episode, but I feel like off the bat, I didn't really like, there was nothing about Jenna that jumped off the screen.
Aside from it being her birthday, I was just like, okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it's girl. Her birthday.
Happy birthday.
Good for her. I celebrate her birthday with some. We'll get to her birthday a little more later. And then Basit. I think Basit is one of my favorite humans on the show. And I just, oh my God. And wait, okay, now there's one thing I was worried about. I don't want to mix up anyone's pronouns. I don't know if Basit, did Basit talk about the pronouns that they wanted to use? I don't want to get that wrong. I feel like that could get me into a shitload of trouble.
I believe he said him and they, okay. But then they also said that he, they prefer that you just be called Basit. So
okay. So I think that we could go with Basit, and if I'm sure there's going to be some slip ups. So I think I'm going to apologize in advance. We're both going to do our best to make sure we get everyone's proper pronouns. But with so many different people, at times we might have slip ups just naturally. Right. So we're apologizing in advance.
Right. And that's totally fine. I mean, even as a member of the community, like even I don't know how many fans are also fans of Big Brother Canada 7, but we had the first like transgender or non-binary person on the show, and mm-hmm. when I would be doing the morning updates with Taryn, I would frequently refer to them as she or her by accident. So like, you know, it's a learning experience for everybody. I mean, if you're not surrounded by people like this all the time, it, you know, your brain has to adjust. It's not, so
yeah. Yeah, and there's so many different people on this season, so I think as we go we'll start learning their proper pronouns. And I'm definitely excited to learn all those as we go, but it's definitely going to take some time to know, even just like on a basis. Like, I don't even remember everyone's name. So we're going to have to, as we go, we'll kind of learn and make sure we get that right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Great. So then, Asha, is it Aisha or Asha? I don't know.
I feel like she said Aisha. I don't know if she said Asia or Aisha. I feel like it's Aisha.
I'm going with Aisha for now. And if we get it wrong, we will definitely correct it moving forward. She said she's, done with the situationships. And I think that's the coolest little term she's ever coined. Have you heard that before? I feel like I always learn new terms and Are You the One?
Situationships? Yeah, that's a thing. That's definitely
a
thing.
What the fuck is wrong with me? I'm being 100% serious. This is the first time I've ever heard it.
I mean, maybe you've just been lucky that you've never had to deal with a situationship, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's a positive. But last season, someone said topped off, and I never heard that before. And now I know exactly what it means. But last season, I didn't. And so I'm learning as I go.
You're just learning a lot.
I know. I'm a hip, cool kid. I know the kid terminology now. I'm going to get invited to all the cool parties.
Okay.
All right. Then we got Jonathan, who has the most beautiful mane of hair I've ever seen in my life. And it's just so frizzy and all over the place. And I like Jonathan's attitude. I think there were some things in this episode, and we'll get to everybody because there was a 2-hour goddamn episode. But there was some things in this episode. I think Jonathan is playing with fire. But from first glance, I really like Jonathan.
Yeah, I mean, he came in like a whirlwind with all that hair and all that energy. And it was interesting. He's definitely, I was surprised in his little intro package when he said that so many people give him compliments on his hair and his looks and his eyes and his striking personality, but he has a hard time believing that within himself. That's so interesting to me because, I mean, a piece of me is like, do you really actually feel that? Because I feel like you are feeling your oats this entire episode. So like, I don't know. I just, it was an interesting thing.
Do you
for
think
him
it's
to
like
say.
A card? Like he's like, oh, well, I'm like, I lack confidence, but in reality, Jonathan's like feeling himself. So so you think it's like something he plays off of just to kind of like, oh, I'm vulnerable and look at me, like that kind of strategy going on.
I think it might be like, I feel like I've definitely met people in my life that have been like, oh yeah, like, you know, I don't really, you know, I can't really believe it in myself. And it's
like, oh, I'm not confident. Like, oh, but I'm like, it's like when the like most beautiful person's like, well, like I'm not confident. And I know that happens, but a lot of the time I feel like it could be BS.
I mean, yeah, I think it's BS, but you know what? Maybe that within itself is just another it stems from another deeper insecurity. So like, why feel the need to do that? If you obviously feel like you are good looking, you know what I mean? Like, why do you have to feel the need to do that? So that within itself is still sort of like, I mean, he gonna be working through it. He'll work through it. We'll work through it with him.
Exactly. We'll see. We'll see. I feel like as we go, we'll be able to kind of see if it's bullshit or not. I feel like that's the Are You the One in a nutshell, seeing if someone's a bullshitter or not. Mm-hmm. So then we got Kai, who is, and I wrote this down because I wanted to make sure I got this right. Queer, trans, masculine, non-binary human. But Kai said his pronouns are either he or him or and they or them, right? So we're good on that front. Made that very clear from the start. So Kai, we could go with he. Kai is the star of the episode. In good and very, very bad ways. And we're gonna, at first I'm like, yo, Kai is awesome, like beautiful hair, and I was just like, this is just a dope dude. And then, but as we see later, it gets a little messy with Kai.
Yes, very, very messy. Actually was not seeing that at all. I thought that like I had pegged him in, like I had him all the way effed up. I thought that really? He was gonna come in this house and be the meek and shy one. I don't know if it's because he has like this doughy face and
yeah,
you know, he's just this innocent look to him, but no, he was
he was a hoe. He was a hoe.
Simply put,
he was a full ass hoe. Like, we're just gonna, and I didn't. But that's the thing, though. Like, it's so tough to read people, even though we're watching an edit. You see someone, and you're like, oh, like they're cool, or they're like so like, oh, they're so vulnerable, and then they're like, boom, making out with everyone left and right and going to six different boom boom rooms. So it's really tough to peg these people off the bat.
It is. And I feel like especially in a season like this where so many people, like just endless possibilities, I think that it might be causing, because a running theme that a lot of them said was that they've never been in a situation where they were surrounded by people that were just like them. So that is just, I can only imagine what that's doing to them in this experience. Like, so that's
it's gonna get crazy. And Jenna goes real quick, and this happens every season. There's always someone who's really into someone else super quick, and Jenna's so into Kai. And I guess Kai reminds Jenna of Justin Bieber, which, like, I get it. Like, I see it. Like, just, like, the kind of flippy hair and the cute face. And, like, I understand that. But I just think that anytime you dive really deep real quick, I don't think it's ever worked out in Are You the One before.
No, I don't understand that mentality at all. Like, I feel like if I'm on this show, like, I'm, you know, I'm going to be out here a hoeing, for lack of a better term. Like, you know, find the one. You can't find the one by choosing one. Like, that's not how it works. So I'm always surprised when people do stuff like that. But I mean, I guess at the same time, if you're a true romantic and you just feel like you know when you know, then I won't fault you for that. But at least if it ends up being incorrect, I'm hoping that in the future, Jenna will, you know, take her claws out and move the hell on. So we'll see.
We can only hope. And this is, we're definitely going to see a lot of them this season. Next up is Brandon, who I always love this kind of person that we put on the show, where it's somebody who grew up in a very conservative area, who he was an all-state football player. He was like a guy's guy, a stereotypical guy's guy, and he was bot. And I think it's so cool seeing someone like that who probably had to repress their feelings for God knows how long, and now is kind of just able to flaunt it and do what he wants with who he wants. And so I'm really excited to see kind of Brandon on this show. I feel like he represents someone that in the past really has been kind of shut into a corner.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm always like very, very happy in particular when I see non-straight black men being able to be themselves, like, because it's just like it's just so hard out here sometimes for those people. I mean, speaking from a personal experience, it's just, you know, you have so many expectations and societal pressures put on you. So I mean, it's to the point where I even get jealous when I see other non-straight black men out here just living their best life. I'm like, damn, like, especially the younger ones coming up, like Generation Z, like these kids don't give a damn nowadays. And I'm like, oh my god, like I'm so envious of that free feeling that you have. So like, it's, you know, I'm always going to be out here rooting for Brandon's and the Beseets, and of course all of them, but you know, those two in particular just makes me happy.
Exactly. And I like that we're seeing more and more black men on TV who are gay or bi or whatever it may be. And I think that I wish on like Big Brother and Survivor we saw more gay black men. I feel like we're still kind of, Big Brother, we had Luan years ago, but I feel like we're still kind of missing out on that. I feel like Big Brother doesn't often do that. So I'm glad, I feel like hopefully Are You the One continues and MTV continues to open doors for more gay or bi or non-binary black men to kind of push that representation out there.
Definitely. Most definitely.
Mm-hmm. So then we have Justin, who you could just tell Justin feels himself. Like, you could, and he's a very handsome guy. Like, I get it, but you could just tell this yeah. dude is oozing confidence, and he has this like smile that he's like flashing for the camera. And I feel like right away, Justin's kind of a little bit of a fuckboy.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that smile, that whole thing where he's like, oh yeah, like, I don't usually have to approach people. I'm like, okay, well, that right there is telling me that you're not to be trusted, because when have you ever had to put yourself at risk for something? That just tells me that you're afraid of rejection. You're afraid to put yourself out there. You want everybody else to do the work for you. And then when you feel like there's no more work to be done, you leave. And it's like, I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you are putting yourself in this position to be vulnerable. I mean, we're going to talk about it later on. I'm sort of glad what happened to you in this episode. Yeah. But I'm hoping that he walks away from this experience, you know, a better person. And I hope that he does find the one. And I'm calling it now. If this ends up being one of those seasons where they do not find the one, he is probably going to be one of the main people that F's it up for the entire cast.
So. Yep. I could, and when they cast people who are, you could tell they've always gotten what they wanted. And for Justin, it's just multiplied. He's literally probably gotten guys and girls just throwing themselves at him, and he hasn't had to work for shit. And after we see this episode, like, I hope he has to work for something this season. I hope it's just not like everyone just kind of, cause it seems like for a lot of people are fawning over Justin. So I hope that we see more people kind of having to put the effort into getting with who he wants to be with.
Yes. 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 Yes.
So next up, I have Noor, who's also a big character this episode. She's a bisexual Muslim girl, and she talks right off the bat that she's representing for bisexual Muslims, or even like anyone in the LGBT community that's a Muslim. I feel like based on what I know on the Muslim religion, it's very strict and they're very conservative. So I think it's really good for her. Hopefully, people could watch and see what she's doing for the community. And I just props to her for her for kind of going on this show, because I feel like she might face some persecution with her parents.
Yeah, like that's got to be really, really tough. Like, I mean, religious persecution is just such a like it's a dirty business. So I do applaud her, and she is not a very common voice. Like, she had it right on the tee. Like, you don't really see, like, I can't even think of any gay or, you know, non-straight Muslims in my life.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, this is definitely something new for me, and it's definitely something that I'm, you know, interested in hearing more about and learning more about her experiences, because, you know, I think that, you know, we can say that all of these people have faced some sort of difficulty in terms of accepting who they are and having their family not necessarily be there for them. But I think, you know, each, you know, experience is different, and this hers in particular is one that I think is less common than the others, so I'm glad that she's there.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I don't even think there's like that many Muslim people on TV, let alone someone who's Muslim and bisexual. So that's cool. Like, that's cool in itself, right, that we're seeing a religious representation. But now to see someone who's a bi and Muslim, like, I'm really excited for her to open doors for more non-straight Muslims, as you said. Okay, moving forward, we have Paige. And Paige has the really kind of like southern twang, right? Like, she has the kind of heavy accent.
Yeah, I really like her. I just like, I enjoy her, like, her aesthetic and her energy. Yes. She just seems like real down to earth and real chill and real cool. And
she doesn't take it too seriously. Yeah. I love when people come on the, like, there's people come on the show and they're like, I have to find a match. And she's kind of like, I feel like just tells it like it is and goes with the flow. So Paige is one of my faves to start it off.
Yeah, like, I definitely, like, I feel like, if I weren't gay, like, I feel like I'd be into Paige. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, and she's so pretty too. So I feel like Paige has a lot going on for her. So I'm definitely team Paige.
Yeah, likewise.
So we have, now because you have Max, who I feel like it's very easy to kind of ping who Max is off the bat. Probably grew up around a bunch of straight white guys, was taught to be straight and white, like, thought it was. And then I think he's finally learning to explore his sexuality, which is great. And I so far, Matt seems kind of a little bit vanilla, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
But I think that hopefully we kind of see him crossing boundaries and kind of maybe doing things he wouldn't normally do. So there's definitely potential, but right off the bat, he seems a little bit kind of just chill and vanilla.
Yeah, he was an interesting one, because, like, he's the only one that's really saying, I'm still trying to figure out what is going on with me, whereas the rest of them seem to have, you know, have lived in their identities for a little bit while, for a little while longer. He's the main one mm-hmm. that's sort of, you know, not necessarily sure what he truly wants. So it is, it gives me pause.
Yes.
I think it's like, I had to check myself, because as soon as he said that, I immediately rolled my eyes, and I had to remember, it's like, Amon, like, look, like some people, and I feel like, just based off of how he looks, I feel like he's just like a little bit older than the both of us, maybe. Which,
how old is he? He looks like late 20s. That's the vibe I got, but maybe I'm wrong.
I would say so. Which,
I'm
going
to look it up just to be safe. So while you continue, I'm going to look it up because I'm curious.
But I think he's just a little bit older than the two of us. And like, I'll just refer to it as gay years. Like, 5 years is a lot of time for a culture to shift in terms of like accepting homosexuality or whatever it is, whatever it is. So like I said before, like when I was saying like that the younger gays that I get jealous of, some of them are as little as 5 years younger than me. So I can only imagine what he's gone through in the 5 years that he may be older than us. Or so it's just, I had to remind myself, like, look, like Ohio is some shit. Okay. I grew up in Pittsburgh, like right next to Ohio. I know how it is. So I had to be patient, and I had to remind myself that not everybody's experience is going to be equal. People, different folks, different strokes, different faces, different paces. So that's what it is.
I love it. No, I feel like that's solid to, oh my God. I just realized that when we were talking about Paige, Paige is like the tall white girl.
Yes.
This is why this show fucks me up, dude. Because I literally thought we were talking about somebody completely different.
Who'd you think?
And who was I talking about? The girl with the nose ring. The black girl with the nose
Jasmine?
Ring.
Jasmine? You know
Yes, it is Jasmine.
Well,
okay,
They're both Southern, so.
Yeah, man. Well, Paige, I feel like I like Jasmine better than Paige. So I'm definitely team Jasmine. Paige is great too. I'm not going back to talk about it. But so I guess now we can get your opinion on Jasmine. This is why I need the pictures up next to me.
I like Jasmine as well. She's like that Southern twang is always interesting, especially in black people. Like I don't really hear a lot of Southern black people in my life, so it's always like kind of weird for me to hear them with that kind of drawl. Yeah. But other than that, I think she's great. I think that she was, we'll talk about it, but I enjoyed her progression in the episode. So
there we go. Yeah. I'm with you on that. So the last two, I don't think we've talked about. I'm pretty sure we got everyone. If we missed it, oh well. Kylie is next. She was the one. We'll get to her a little. She's feeling Bessie and she was feeling Carrie. She's feeling two different people. So we'll get to Kylie. I like her. Off the bat, she seems pretty chill. I feel like there's still a lot to be explored with Kylie, but just from the start, she seems pretty cool.
Yeah, I enjoy Kylie as well. She reminds me of a lot of the friends that I have around here. They just, you know, she's just so sweet and just, you know, kind of just knows who she is and is. I just enjoy her energy. I feel like I would be best friends if I knew her in real life.
Yeah, I like Kylie too. And she's from Salt Lake City, Utah, which is, I feel like, a pretty conservative area. Like, it's a very religious area. So, I'm being bi in Salt Lake City probably isn't easy, but, maybe we'll get into that too. So, last up is Remy, and I really think Remy was just cast to be the villain of this show. I'm positive he was cast to stir up shit and be the villain.
Definitely. I mean, he came in with a mission. And it seemed like he's the only one that is like gung ho about just doing whatever the hell he wants to do. He had a drink in his hand like every freaking frame of the show. So like, I mean, he's from New York City. Like, come on. Yep. Like, he's a New York City gay. Like, and I'm about to go to Pride weekend in New York City this weekend. So I'm about to be surrounded by Remy. So on guard is all I can say.
You have to let us know if you see Remy. I feel like that'll be interesting. You can confront him.
I would not be surprised if he was around. That seems like, I mean, all the Pride events that are happening right now, like, I mean, it's Pride. Like, they knew that this was going to air during Pride season, so I would not be surprised if he's at some event somewhere.
I was actually thinking, I'm like, wow, like I know it's the end of June, but they're still airing during Pride Month. So I had a feeling it was on purpose. We're missing two people. There's all these people. I just get confused. We have Amber, who was, all about Nora the whole episode. She seems like a little, firecracker, which, I feel like Amber's got potential to cause some drama this season.
Yeah, definitely. She was just so gung-ho. I mean, I feel like her and Holly are like two sides of the same coin. Like,
yes.
Just, you know, completely. I know what I want. I know, like, I'm ready for you to fail so that you can come running back to me, which seems on one end, it's sweet. On the other hand, it's like, girl, calm down. Like, she's not yours yet. And even if she ends up being yours, that doesn't mean that she is still going to be yours. Like, calm the hell down. Like,
facts.
So
I'm with you. People don't realize that Are You the One is so different from the real world. And me and Ali used to talk about this all the time. Like, there's like Are You the One rules. I don't think, unless you're really, really deep in it with someone and you're really into someone and you make it very clear that we're dating, these are the boundaries. I don't think cheating is a thing that exists on Are You the One, because the whole goal is to meet your perfect match. And I'm doing air quotes as I say that. But cheating is it exists in the real world. It's real in real relationships. But Are You the One, these aren't real relationships. This is a very different situation. So I think people get very possessive very quickly, as they would in the real world. And that's why there's so much drama on the show.
Definitely. And we are both no strangers to studying how producers like to frame and tell stories on these shows. So we know that's what they're going for. We know that they're casting people that are free-spirited, and we know that they're casting people that are going to have problems and jealousy issues when it comes to relationships. So, you know, sparks are going to fly. And, you know, I honestly don't mind that. As much as I know that it's a TV show, I also know that they are probably feeling a lot of, like, what they're feeling on that show is probably very real. And I mean, you are forcing them to hook up. Like, stuff is going to happen. You know, somebody's going to, feelings are going to be caught like airplanes. So
you couldn't have said it better. These are the producers I don't want to put words in the mouths of these producers, but they're looking at this show like it's kind of like a chess game, right? And they could just move these people around and put them in compromising situations and in situations that are going to elicit results,
right?
And elicit reactions. So putting all of these people who have really every opportunity to hook up with anyone, it's going to cause drama. So they know exactly what they're doing. And I think this season we might see a lot more shit than we do on straight seasons. So it's going to be insane.
Definitely. And I'm here for the mess. I'm here for the mess.
Every single week. Okay. And last we have Danny, who's the really tall white dude with the glasses. That's kind of like has the nerdy vibe, but, he's kind of endearing. And I think that, the reason I like Danny is because I feel like potentially awkward he could be, I think we're going to see him kind of let loose and maybe kind of open up with his sexuality and just maybe like his, who he is as a person. Like, we saw him kind of in the end show, they showed the preview of him just wearing lipstick and I think he was wearing heels. So I'm excited to see people who, like, conventionally you wouldn't expect to do that, to kind of let their guard down and just kind of let loose.
Yeah. I like Danny too. Jasmine is your favorite. Danny was actually my favorite. And I know we don't see a lot of him in the episode, but he just, I don't know. I just enjoy his, like, you know, need to give people like little tidbits of information and spill some knowledge, and just his quirky attitude. I just think that he's like the perfect nerdy archetype, for as nerdy archetypes can appear on this show. Yes. So it was really cool. And I thought it was kind of funny, as someone who is kind of well versed in the idea of, like, you know, what it means to sort of like be a little bit freaky. Not saying that I partake. I'm just saying that I've met some freaky people.
Yeah, sure, Amon.
For him to be like, I'm kind of like, you know, kind of bland on the outside, but I get freaky in the sheets. And then they cut to him wearing like women's clothing. I'm like, really? Is that that's it? Like, I was kind of expecting someone.
I said that too. I literally made a note and I was like, that's like, you said you're freaky. Wait, you're wearing like the skirt? Like, that's in the, come on, dude.
Like, girl, you know, I've done that at like 3 years old. Like,
yeah, exactly. Dude, come on, that does not constitute freaky. Like, we got to say way more than that, my friend. It's for you to be considered freaky. But I think there's potential with Danny. He seems super. There's just a very genuine side of Danny, I feel like we're getting. So I kind of like that when anyone's kind of truly themselves.
Yeah, I'm dying to see who his perfect match is. Like, I'm very invested in him.
Yep, I'm with you on that. So now I'm okay. So we went through. I think that's pretty much the whole cast. If we miss it, we miss it. Then Terrence rolls in looking like a swaggy safari guy. Like he just kind of looked like what he was wearing was just a little like a very Hawaii. But I love Terrence. Terrence J's I like Ryan when he hosted, but I love Terrence. I think he's a phenomenal job. So he kind of goes over the rules. Only 8 perfect matches since there's 16 of them. That makes sense. And they have 10 weeks, which is 10 3-day periods, 10 chances to do so. So the odds are, because the odds are stacked against them. Usually there's 20 people in the house, or whether once there was 22, 20 people in the house, and everyone, has what, like 9 options. This season, they each have 15 options. So it's going to get intense. And Danny says it's 345 times harder for them to succeed this season. Just from the first like glance and with the odds stacked against them, do you still think it's likely for them to complete the goal here and find everyone's perfect match?
I think that this will definitely be a season where they lose. They're not going to get the full 1 million. I can't see it happening. I don't know if it's just the bias in me and just like me wanting to see some of these people get their perfect match. I honestly believe that we'll end with them for all finding it, but they're probably going to lose a lot of money on the way. But yeah, there's still a possibility that it might be one of those seasons where, hey, like they can't do it and they, you know, they go home empty handed. And that would suck to see, but 340 times harder than a regular season. Like, come on. I mean, just how symbolic is that actually? You know what I mean? Like, of like the dating experiences of LGBT people and how it's actually just so much harder. Like, I feel like that is the perfect, you know, embodiment on this show of how the real world so actually true. Is. So.
Yep, you're right though, because it is like I always said, like being straight, like I don't take it for, well, now at my age now, I'm sure when I was younger I took it for granted, but now I'm like, I'm very appreciative, because I can't imagine going into a bar and then being like, okay, like that person's beautiful, but I don't know if they're attracted to guys, girls, both, you know what I'm saying? Like everyone just assumes everyone's straight, which now I'm glad in society we're making strides where not everyone's just assuming. But I definitely don't take it for granted that the struggle that gay and bi men and women have when it comes to dating. And this season, like you said, just kind of symbolizes that struggle. So now where he introduces the relationship coach, Dr. Frankie. And I'm like, I swear to God, if we get fucking Frankie Grande on this show, that's the first. And also the hair is not that off when we go to Dr. Frankie in the future. But that was my first vibe. I'm like, we're going to get Frankie Grande. But how do you feel about having a relationship coach? I think it's kind of weird. I don't think we need a relationship coach, but I'm open to hear what you say.
It's definitely filler. I'm like, I mean, yeah. And I feel like a lot, like as far as the first session that she has on this show, I'm like, okay, like I feel like you pretty much ask them a question and then they give you an answer and then you sort of like restate their answer back to them. And I'm like,
that's exactly, yeah.
I know that it's MTV. This is like, you know, sort of like fluff TV. So I get it, but it's just like, to somebody who's like, you know, actually just a little bit more invested in like just seeing how these people interact with one another, I'm not really sure that I'm here for it. I mean, it is whatever. She seems like a nice lady. I'm sure she's credentialed and she knows her shit. But
yeah,
I'm sure
she's a doctor and shit. Yeah. But like, come on. Like, I feel like this did not have to be 2 hours long, this episode. Like, we literally, there was so much fluff and so much unnecessary moments that I feel like it went on way too long and was kind of dragging on.
Maybe.
And I think the cast is great and I think the people are great. I don't think, maybe an hour and a half would have been fine.
Yeah, maybe they'll do more with her. Like, I think she'd be interesting if, like, in the event that the cast starts to utterly fail and just cannot get their shit together, maybe then it'll be a lot more interesting, because then she can come in and sort of like try and figure something out with them. So I can sort of see that. But in the event that it's sort of like a smooth sailing kind of season and they're doing, you know, well, then she sort of seems a little superfluous, but it is what it is.
I'm with you. I think it'd be really fun if we throw her into the mix with like the parties and shit and see her start making out with people. Like that's what I get. That's like turns to Dr. Love and just really starting to get to know the people, but that's unlikely. And I think we're
making like a mole
Terrence
and try and like actually destroy all the relationships. Like,
yes, like a saboteur. That's what we need.
We're thinking it's Remy, but it turns out it's Dr. Frickin' Frankie.
Yes. Oh my God, that'd be, see, that's the show I need. That's what I'm here for, but I don't, it's unlikely, but we're gonna hold out hope. So then they go to the jacuzzi. Jenna and Kai start to hit it off, and Kai asks the cringiest thing of all time and says, "What's your thing?" And that is like, I just asked a fucking question.
I
like,
had no idea what the hell he was talking about.
Yes, or Kai, what do you like? I feel like it goes off the mysterious, like Kai vibes, you know, like, ooh, like, what's your thing, dude? It's like, oh my God, I just, come on. Like, we don't need to know. What the fuck does that even mean? What's your thing?
Yeah, like, it felt very like, oh, let me just, you know, give you like a little, mysterious type of like icebreaker question to get you all hot and bothered. Like it was really weird. It was
like to try to be like sexy, like what's your thing? Like it's like, oh man, like I feel like we left that in 2013, Kai.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm willing to give him a break simply because of the fact that, you know, I mean, he's still going through a transition. He's still trying to find himself and like, but still like that was weird.
Yeah, we'll give Kai the benefit of the doubt here, but if Kai asks one more time, what's your thing, to someone else, we are unstanding real quick.
Yes.
All right. So then, we go, Jen and Kai like have their little makeout session. And I think it's really a really nice moment with Kai where, he says for the first time he feels attractive because kind of like Jen is feeling him and then everyone else is feeling him. So minus the fuckboyish tendencies we see later, I'm really happy that we're getting to see this moment from someone, because I've never experienced anything like this where it's like, where like you're finally coming to terms with who you are. So it's just kind of a beautiful thing that we get to be a part of.
Yeah. Like I think that's why I was so shocked. When he sort of like got to that fuckboy level, because he was like running away when Jenna would try to kiss him. Like he was trying to be all coy and stuff. And I'm like, why? Like now all of a sudden it's like completely different. But you know, I guess, you know, once again, like once you start feeling yourself and once you actually start feeling like you are coming into your own and you feel attractive, like that's a good feeling. And sometimes when you like something, you go overboard. So.
Yeah, oh yeah, and he went not only overboard, but he dove deep into those waters, so we'll get to that in a bit. So then we have Amber and Noor. I feel like I'm butchering her name, like Noor, like it's, I feel like it's just so white.
I think
white,
you got it, like, Noor.
But it's just like the whitest way to say it, but that's what we're gonna get. So Noor's dad got deported, when she was 14, I think she said, and she got married at 21. So she's definitely had like, with just the religious kind of, constraints, and she's definitely had a rough go at it. And I'm happy that she's kind of just opening up, and it seems like her and Amber are vibing to start. How do you feel about them? At first, I was like, yeah, they're vibing. Later in the episode, maybe differs a bit. But right now, how do you feel about Amber and Noor?
I'm really not really sure why Amber is so into Noor. I don't get it. To me, it just seems like, I don't know. It seems like it's just lust to me from Amber's part. Like,
I get that.
How could you become so into somebody that quickly? Like, and I think like the first bit of, you know, the first thing that we hear about Noor from Amber is like, oh, she's so hot. Like she's totally my type. And then you don't hear anything else really until you hear them start talking to one another. And then even when they are having that conversation, it just seemed like a very like friendly type. I'm just not getting that vibe. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think that they're a match. So, I'm kind of lukewarm on it.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think that there's a connection, but I don't think they're a match. I think, like, and we see later in the episode where Noor chooses Justin, and then she's like, oh, I should have chose you, after they find out they're not a perfect match. I really think if she wanted to choose Amber, she wants to be around Amber more, I think she would have done it. And I think I get the kind of reluctance, because her whole life she's been kind of put up against this wall and not been able to be who she is. But I think that deep down there's an attraction there. I don't think it's fate. I don't think they're the one for each other, but we'll see. But I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, like, we'll see. I mean, based off of like the trailers that we've seen, it seems like we won't talk about it, but we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, it's up. There's a lot to be seen. So we'll definitely get to that as the season goes on. Then we get to Remy. This man just goes in and talking about fucking piss play. And like, look, I respect what you're into in the bedroom, but I don't know if that's a solid way to start.
You gotta read the room, bro. Like,
right. Yes, exactly. So, like, I'm not alone in thinking that was a bit much to kind of break the ice with.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, it's all in the delivery. People find me charming. So, like, even if I'm being obnoxious, I'm trying to do it in a charming way. And I'm like,
I don't think obnoxious is ever charming to me.
Yeah.
I don't care like who, I don't care who you are, how funny you are, how pretty you are. I think if you're off the bat obnoxious, like without like kind of like maybe leading up to that or like being a little bit like easing into it,
establishing a rapport first.
Yes, there's got to be some sort of like foundation before you just go in a straight on obnoxious land. And I think he was just kind of, and look, we didn't see it was an edit, but we're going based off of that edit. And it was very, because based on Nora's response, it seemed like it was a bit brash. And
like she walked away, she shouldn't get the hell out of there. Like,
I don't blame her. I would have probably done the same shit. But Remy, this is not the last we'll see of Remy this episode or for the season. We're gonna see lots and lots of Remy.
Yes, we definitely will.
Yep. I wrote my notes at this point. I liked Kai a lot. I still like Kai, but I think there's definitely some things I don't like about Kai. So we'll get to that. But then, so Justin and Jonathan are in the like the DR together, the confessional, and they both have these awful chest tattoos. And that's all I could look at when they were talking. And if you go back and look at the screenshot, their chest tattoos, I think they're just terrible, terrible tattoo work.
Wait, for who? I missed it. I'm sorry.
Justin and Jonathan. They both have they were in the confessional together where Jonathan was kind of like into Justin and it kind of felt one sided. But their chest tattoos are just awful. They have these huge chest tattoos.
I'm never a big fan of like big tattoos that cover up huge parts of your body. I just feel like myself personally, I feel like I would just want to like scrub it off every day.
Yes.
And not be able to. But I mean, if that's your thing, then that's your thing. Maybe that's why Jonathan just feels like Justin is so his, because they both have chest tattoos and they're both, maybe that's just what it is. I don't know.
Yeah, they would love Paul Ibrahimian then if that's what they're into. Like, man,
can you imagine Paul in his house? Oh my God.
No, I cannot imagine Paul in any house anytime soon. But so then I'm getting the vibe that Jonathan's super into Justin. Justin has no attraction to Jonathan whatsoever. And Jonathan can't let it go. That's the whole vibe I've gotten this episode. I know we're going to deal with it again. And they say like, oh, they both like being outdoors. They both like camping or whatever. Whatever. I just think that there's no shot for anything here.
Yeah, I'm starting to think if like the producers were like giving us an edit where they're alluding to the fact that Brandon and Jonathan are supposed to be together, because we've seen like two scenes where Jonathan is talking and like thirsting over Justin, and Brandon is like with him being like, you know, giving him like that face like, well, you know, I'm right
like
here,
a side eye kind of thing.
So like I'm interested in seeing how that pans out, because Justin and Jonathan definitely don't seem to be a thing. I think it's a red herring.
I'm with you, and I hate when you see people on these shows who's like one person's really into someone else and they're giving them no attention. It just kind of makes them want them more. I you just want to be like, just move on. There's 15 other people you could kind of learn more about. So don't get hung up on one person.
It definitely puts things into perspective. At least for me, I'm like, oh damn, is that how I act sometimes? I gotta fucking work on that.
Yeah, it happens to everyone though. Like everyone gets in those moments where they're like, they're really into someone, don't realize it. Like, I get it, but I hope we don't see Jonathan just kind of being all about Justin, and Justin's clearly into 8 different other people. So I'm just hoping. But then we get to the Justin and Noor, they start vibing. We get this like weird like love triangle where they're kind of into each other and making this connection. And Justin talks about being in the Navy and experimenting, and he kind of opens up about his sexuality. And I thought there was a connection here, but then I started to think that I think Justin's the type of person that you think he connects with anyone, because he's such like a kind of like a smooth talker. So I think it's very tough to detect whether Justin has a real connection with someone or not.
I mean, yeah, like I said before, like he's, you know, he doesn't like to do the work. And so I feel like he's created this persona that is easily digestible to lots of different kinds of people. And so therefore, until he comes to terms with what it is that he really wants and who it is that he really wants to be, he's not going to be able to find anybody that's going to actually have a strong connection with him, because you're not working for it. You're relying on your looks, and you're relying on your charm. And that's not enough. So
muscles can only take you so far. And I think you need to really know who you are, or at least think you know who you are, rather than put on this persona if you want to meet someone that kind of connects with you on a deeper level. We'll see. Maybe there's room for growth, but I feel like we got Justin pegged pretty early on, so we'll see. We get to this challenge. Challenges are back this season. We didn't have challenges last season. We had this stupid button of doom or whatever the fuck it was called. But we have challenges. Are you a fan of these silly kind of ridiculous Are You the One challenges?
I don't mind them. I'm always like, usually like Are You the One is sort of like new for me. Well, not really, because I typically when I watch reality television shows, I like competition. And yeah, I know that this is sort of like a competition because they have to try and match each other up and get $1 million. So, but, you know, aside from that, I do like to see physical challenges. They don't really amount to much, other than winning dates, but I think it's something kind of silly and cool to see. And yeah, I don't mind them. I like it.
Yeah, it's at the end of the day, I've talked about this last season and the seasons I've covered before. Are You the One is not going to take the place of like Big Brother, Survivor, or even The Amazing Race for me. It's just, it's more kind of just like, yes, there's a little strategy, but it's just kind of a clusterfuck that I'm going to like watch it all burn down. It's not going to give you that same like strategic feel that these other shows give. However, there are moments and there are times where it's like, wow, like these people really are thinking and they're playing this game and maybe they'll transition to the challenge someday. So it's just a different vibe, and I'm with you though. I need some sort of kind of competition. I know the first one was kind of silly, and they were just picking up bags and jumping over shit. Where they had it was like kind of this weird baggage obstacle course, which was nice and all. But I'm excited to kind of see things get a little more ruthless as we go, and where they really need to fight for their dates.
Right? Yeah. Like fight for the day. I want to see them actually. Like if you want to be with this person, you want to get this date going on. Like. And you want the chance to be put into the truth booth. Like, I'm like, you know, let's fight for it, you know? So like, raise the stakes a little bit more instead of, cause it can get very, very, you know, sort of monotonous if it's just a bunch of footage of the house and house life. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep.
I'm here.
It just gets basic a little after a while. I think it'd be cool if we saw some sort of like 11 couples and then like one was eliminated, like one couple like was eliminated through the season, like where some sort of like kind of elimination. I feel like that would up the stakes a little bit and that'd be make it a little more fun and for kind of the maybe more game body fans, it'd be a little more interesting to watch. But I don't produce the show, so there we are. Now, we got the Bessie and Kylie got first, which was, they were really in sync. Jasmine and Paige number two, and then Nora and Justin number three. And, I feel like these teams, like, kind of all made sense. Like, there was nothing too shocking about these results.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of surprised that Kai and Jenna didn't place us because it seemed so gung ho. But, like you said, it's not that surprising.
Yeah, it would have been fun to put them in the truth with early on, but I think we're gonna get enough drama from them. So
yeah, that's probably why they weren't.
Yep, I feel like producers, because look, at the end of the day, producers could do whatever they want with those times, you know. So they got to pick and choose who they want to potentially get out of the house because they know who the matches are. So if they're for some reason a perfect match and they know if they go on that date, there's a chance they leave. I could see them being like, all right, let's move them over to fifth. Like, they could do whatever the hell they want. It's their show.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Definitely some rigging going on.
Grodner's at the helm. No. So my team, I'm so pissed off we didn't see Danny and Brandon do the challenge together. Like, Brandon's this shorter, jacked guy, and Danny's this tall, lanky, awkward guy. I would have paid money to see them do this challenge. I know. It was super, like, I hope we can see more of them together, because I feel like they're, like, the perfect odd couple. But I don't know. I'm just kind of disappointed we saw nothing of them this challenge.
I'm disappointed when I don't see a lot of Danny, because, like I said, he's my favorite so far, so...
Yep, and I hope Danny doesn't. I hope he continues to be like a genuine person and he doesn't burst go down in flames. But you never know. So next, so we're going through the episode. We passed the challenge. Then I think this is where we saw Kai. But this is also a really nice moment. And see, this is what pisses me off about this episode, because Kai had such high highs and he also had really really low lows. So the one of the higher highs when he was taking the testosterone and talking about like how he's kind of all over the spectrum and not really sure where he is when it comes to gender and kind of very non-binary. So maybe he wants to feel more like a guy and or feel more stereotypically like a girl. And there was kind of just talking about how he's not really sure. And I really like that vulnerability. And once again, we don't see a lot of trans people on TV, especially on cable. Like, we don't see trans people. So seeing this for me was awesome, because it's something that I don't have any experience with. It was a really nice moment for Jen to support Kai too, which makes their fall from grace later all more kind of crappy.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the second time that I can think of in my recent memory of me seeing a trans person injecting themselves with a hormone. Like the first time that I ever saw that was during America's Next Top Model, where they had their first transgender contestant, and just like a couple scenes where you see her injecting herself. So it was really cool to see him be able to do that and, you know, speak freely and you know, and kudos to Jenna for being supportive. That's all we really want. That's all we need. Yes, some support.
That's all we need is just what's I'm trying to think of the word. Legends supporting legends. That's the phrase. There we go. I'm getting.
Yes.
I got to get back into the like stan culture. Big Brother. As Big Brother comes back, though, it gets easier because I feel like everyone's going crazy on Twitter and saying every type of stan term on that there is out there. So I just got to get back into it. I think with Big Brother season, I'll be good.
Honestly, I'm waiting for the stan culture documentary. Like, where you at, Vice? Come on now.
Yes. Oh, I mean, Amon, I think you'd be perfect to like kind of narrate that.
If Vice is listening, I doubt they are, but if anybody needs some,
we got a lot of Vice executives of Ari, fans of Ari the One, so we should be good. I wrote Kaya's beautiful hair. I love Kai's hair. I think it's just flowing gorgeously as the night continues, and I'm sure it's going to get played with by many different people. So that's a really nice moment. Then we go to this kayak date. Pretty basic. So a slow motion swimming in the ocean. That it's pretty much just fluff filler footage as they all swim underwater.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best like out of all the dates, I like Beseet's and Kylie's the best. I thought that was an interesting conversation. And once again, it sort of like sheds some light on the dating experiences of bisexual or non-straight black men. Like, you know, it's hard sometimes, especially from other black women. Like, they need to hear is like, oh, I'm bi, and then it's just like, oh, then you that's it, you like dudes, can't do it. And it's just you know, it's a hard out. And I'm glad that Kylie was just like, it was like kind of a surreal experience for me watching it. It was sort of like it kind of made me uncomfortable, but not in a bad way. It was like me having to come to terms with it. Like, is this actually how Kylie feels? Because in my experience, I've never experienced somebody. Well, I have now in later in life, but like, it's still something that I'm having to come to terms with. Is that there are people out there that aren't going to hate you or doubt you or think anything of you or judge you? And so it's something really, really. It's kind of made me cringe because I was like sitting here being like, "Oh, I don't know how to. I don't know how, like, Beseet, like, don't put yourself out there because she might not be being truthful, but I'm sure that she is." So it was. I'm glad that I watched that because it was very reassuring, and I feel like I learned a lot just by listening to them talk.
I'm so with you. Here's what I really liked. I feel like if you're just seeing Beseet, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of people would just assume Beseet is gay.
Yes.
Like, they just stereotypically, they'd be like, oh, Beseet's gay. I love that Beseet's able to kind of be like, no, I'm not gay. Everyone, like, whatever people think, like, I'm bisexual. I like girls. I like guys. I think we need more people who you think fit a stereotype and are so different from that stereotype. We need more jacked, straight people who you would assume are straight that are gay. We need more flamboyant people who are maybe bi or straight. Like, we just gotta keep destroying these stereotypes.
Yeah.
And I'm super happy that someone like Beseet is on TV because I think Beseet offers, he's really breaking a stereotype, and I'm so happy that I want people to see the Beseet and be like, okay, like, I'm not gonna just assume Beseet's gay.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we need more of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about like just learning, you know, intersectionality and just how different everybody can be, and I think that the more and more that you see it, it's exposure therapy, essentially. Like, the more and more that you become used to it, the less you are surprised and the less you will project stereotypes onto other people, and the more you self-examine and you realize, like, hey, like, I've sort of like noticed that I have like a bit more of a feminine energy or a masculine energy, and let me explore, like, what does that mean? Like, how do I explore a little bit more of that? So I'm here for it. I'm just here for it all.
I'm so with you on that. So then we go to Nora and Justin kiss, and they say their bond is strengthening, and like, they're, and everyone kind of, everyone in the house is ready to throw them in the truth booth. If anyone's ever watched Are You the One before, first couple that goes in the truth booth is 99. I don't know if they've ever been a perfect match. I don't think so. So just right off the bat, I think we could all kind of assume that this isn't going to work out. At this point, did you think there was any shot of them being a perfect match?
I thought maybe just a little bit. I mean, because Noor seemed to be so into it. I guess she had me and Justin fooled. Like, I thought there might be something there. But I mean, like you said, it's just so unlikely that I wasn't holding my breath for it. But I thought maybe there was a possibility.
Yep. So we go to the we go back to the house. Obviously, Amber's not happy, and Amber and Noor. I'm making sure I get the right name. Amber's the one that's really into Noor, right?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Just making sure. See, this is why I love having Amon as my coach, because I feel like you'll keep me in check when I mess up everyone's names.
God, Adam, get it together.
You just gotta shit every time. You're like, come on, and just freak out and get really mad at me. That's what I need. You'll be my Ari the One coach. All right, so Terrence comes in. He's like, all right, ready to truth booth. Oh, of course, it's Noor and Justin. They go to the truth booth. Obviously, I think just based on statistics, they're not a perfect match. Justin's really sad. Noor pretends to be really sad, but then later reveals that she's not sad at all, and she wanted to be with Amber in the first place. Do you believe, based on Noor's past, that she actually was more into Amber, or do you think that maybe that's what she's saying now, that her and Justin have no shot at being a match?
I think it's both. I think it's one of those things where that was probably an issue that she had to overcome in the past. And I think that she's done a lot to address that in the past.
Yes.
And I don't think that is as strong as a reason now. I think it's that it's just a convenient thing to say to get yourself some out of hot water. And not to say that I'm minimalizing her experiences. I'm not saying that what she said isn't true.
No.
I'm skeptical as to whether or not it's the truth at this particular moment in time.
I completely can exactly see where you're coming from. And this is what I'm going to also make a quick disclaimer. We're going to be making conclusions on this show. We're going to be drawing conclusions. We're going to be making opinions about various subjects. We're in no way, shape, or form trying, like you said, minimize anything. But our whole job here is to talk about the show and give our opinions. If it goes against what you believe or what this person said, that's totally fine. The whole point of this is that we're having an open dialogue here. We're not saying anything to disparage what someone else is saying, but it's our opinions. I know people are going to get mad no matter what anyone does, but like we're here to talk about and promote a great show, and I'm honestly agree with you 100%. I do think that was something that it was coming from a place of truth, but I also do think if she was really, really into Amber and didn't want her to kind of get lost, I don't think she would have given an opportunity for that to happen.
Yeah.
So I do think that she saw an attraction to Amber. I just don't think it was as strong as she was saying after the truth booth failed.
Yeah, I mean, I think that she genuinely felt bad for, you know, hurting Justin, but I think that she was just kind of like trying to like wiggle herself out of it and just be like, okay, well, I'm gonna go see Amber now, you know, so like,
yep.
So
it's true, and now that they're kind of Justin and Noor done, so now we go back to Kai, and Kai's kind of just going around flirting with everyone, like just like grinding on people, and like just he's like kind of kissing Remy a bit, like just like randomly kissing him, and you could tell Jenna's upset about it, and I get it, like I understand where Jenna's coming from, but at the end of the day, girl, this is the show you signed up for. You have to expect shit like this to go down. It's night 2 or 3, whatever it is. You're not going to be coupled up with someone. I get it. If you're in that situation, it's way tougher. But this is what the show you signed up for, and it's going to suck. You're going to see people you care about making out with other people. The sooner you accept it, the sooner it's easier.
Yeah, I will say that I'll give Jenna a little bit of slack in that freaking Kai went and had sex with Remy like 2 hours after. Like, man, like a makeout session,
yeah,
fine, do what you gotta do, get your life, but a whole like intimate moment in the boom boom room like 2 hours later, it's a little grimy, Kai. It's a little grimy. Yeah,
no, I'm with you. This is what, when they were still in the bedroom, like when Kai was like reassuring Jenna, like everything's good. I really like you. And that was before they went into the boom boom room. So at this point, I was still kind of like, you know what, like Jenna, you're overreacting. Now, when Jenna went an hour later to bed and then Kai found Remy and started hooking up, that was a lot, you know, and I get like a drunk kiss, like in the Ari the One House, I get a drunk kiss, not in the real world. In the Ari the One House, I get it. But then when they went to the boom room and fooled around and had sex or whatnot, now that's a slap in Jenna's face. And even worse, Kai went down to lay with Jenna moments later. That's a new type
like
level
a dog.
Yes. And so that was messed up. And I don't like how that was handled by Kai. And even more so, the next day, Kai was talking about it very openly in front of the whole house, kind of like he didn't give a shit about how Jenna felt, which I think was even worse.
What was interesting about the conversation that they had afterwards is that she seemed to, I mean, she was upset, Jenna, I'm speaking of, and then she sort of understand it and become okay with it. And I thought what was interesting in Kai's confessional was that he was like, oh, well, like, it's kind of interesting because she said that she's a jealous person and that she has like this little green monster problem, but now she's telling me that it's completely okay and that she's working with it and we'll talk about it. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. And I'm like, you know what? I would have said, yeah, that's definitely a good thing if that's something that she's trying to work on. But at the same time, like, I kind of get why I get Kai's apprehension, because it's like, is it a good thing? Like, is it something that you finally like worked on, or are you just trying to make excuses for me because you like me so much? You know what I mean? And you actually haven't, because you can't have like done the work in 2 days to fix your jealousy problem. That's
exactly
not, you know, especially, I mean, not in the Are You the One House. That's just not getting fixed anytime soon. So yeah, I understood what Kai was leaning towards in that confessional.
I'm with you, and I think that one thing Jenna kind of admits this. She was like, Kai's pretty much, I guess, she called Kai, and she said he's being vindictive, and like, if you're not into okay with this, like, you're out. And the thing is, you can never be scared in a relationship to be yourself. Jenna's so scared to speak her mind and be herself, as she's openly admitting that she's not, doesn't want to say the wrong thing, so Kai ditches her. Like, that right there, that foundation is set up for it to fall and fail so quickly.
Yes, definitely. I mean, that's it's going to be volatile, is all I can say.
And as volatile as it's going to be, we are here to watch, and I'm going to... And I'm going to be watching every second of it. Okay, so then with before the truth booth or the matchup ceremony, we have Dr. Frankie coming in. I honestly zoned out at this point. I really didn't give a shit about Dr. Frankie talking about the baggage that they had.
No, not at all. Because, I mean, that's the whole point of the show. We know they all got...
Yes.
Like, the whole premise of the show is that they all have issues and they suck at relationships. So, like, come on.
Yep, there's really nothing to cover here. Exactly. We're all either. I feel like it's insulting the audience. Like, we get that they have baggage. We don't need to be explained to it by a doctor. Sure, Dr. Frankie, great doctor. Just I think it's so unnecessary. So now we go to the matchup ceremony, and Terrence is looking fly. He was wearing this red suit. I was a huge fan. Do you remember what Terrence was wearing?
I do remember. I love how much of a Terrence Dan you are.
Dude, he's so cool. And I feel like, honestly, if you throw Terrence in the house, everyone's going after Terrence. That's my Terrence J has got it going on.
No, definitely. All right.
So we got a matchup ceremony. I think that there's a lot of kind of everyone's all over the place. I don't think there's a lot of strategy going in. And I know last year we talked to Ethan from season six, and he said that the producers really encourage you to not have strategy, which, and you can even hear Terrence say, like, forget strategy, it's all about love, which I disagree with heavily, because technically it's all about numbers, but whatever. So Noor picks Amber. I think that's expected. I'll run through all these, and then we'll kind of go through the ones we want to talk about. Carrie picks Kylie. Max and Justin are together. That's one thing we didn't cover is Max and Justin, so we'll get to that. Bessie and Jonathan, Paige and Aisha, Jasmine, Jenna, Brandon is with Remy, and then Kai is with Danny to end it out. So first we'll go back up to Max and Justin. They were having like this kind of like bro out, like kind of like flirty thing, where Justin was giving Max a lat job or something, which I've never back job. Now I'm here for the kind of guys who are like we were talking about before, like Max, who might not be fully like sure of his sexuality, kind of seeing another guy and kind of showing his interest. I'm definitely here for it, because I think it's about opening doors and being who you are. I'm excited to see where this goes. How do you feel about Max and Justin?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting, because I mean, Justin, I just got out of that whole thing with Noor, so he's, you know, sort of like back on the prowl again after, like, a, you know, kind of like injured though. And Max is sort of like just, you know, throwing his feelers out there. So it seemed like they had like sort of like a little vibe going on. So
They're broing out, and they're broing out in the most natural way. So I'm hopeful. I just think that them calling each other bro constantly is weird. I think it's, you know what that is? It might be like kind of a wall or like a crutch that Max is leaning on. Uh-huh. Cause he's like he's trying to be open with the fact that he's bi. And I think he's still kind of like, oh, like bro, like you're like, we're cool, bro. But like in reality, it's like eventually you kind of got to lose that friend tag. And
it's like, and it's like diet, no homo.
Yeah. Yes. It is like 2019 no homo, right? Like it's like what people say in 2019 because they don't want to be a homophobic asshole. And I think that he's got to get beyond that, bro. I think he's got to move past that.
Yeah, it's definitely. Yeah, I definitely agree with that wholeheartedly. Yeah,
that's a very great way to phrase. It's a perfect way to look at it. So, another couple that I want to touch on is we saw who picked. Oh, Jasmine picks Jenna. And she kind of throws shit, throws Kai's shit through a loop. No, and I like unexpected picks because it starts drama. I just felt so bad for Danny. Clearly, nobody was like,
I know,
calling out Danny.
Kai was
and
just...
Kai, right? Kai was not about Danny, and it was so sad because Danny's like, Kai's so cute, and whatever the compliments that Kai, Danny was giving Kai, and Kai was like, thank you.
It was just so, oh man, the cringe of the century, man. I didn't like that at all. I think it made me like kind of upset with Kai. I was like, I mean, you're matched up with him. I'm like, you know, in like the next 10 minutes, you're just going to go back in the house and be with Jenna anyway.
Yes.
At least, you know, at least pretend. And if, you know, don't even pretend. Like, there is a possibility that that could be your match. And you're out here throwing, paying him dust. Like, come on now.
Yep. Well, some bullshit. We love Danny. So Danny, if you're listening, we love you. So we're all on team Danny. They get two perfect matches, which is 1/4 of the potential matches they can have. That's a great start. And I think it definitely makes things easier for them going forward. But I'm sure I know anything about Are You the One, it's the group of idiots will somehow screw it up.
I just feel like next episode it'll be back to zero matches. Like,
I'd be so about that. I want that to happen. That'd be unbelievable to see them go crashing down. So I'm not even gonna get into like who we think the perfect matches are. I feel like it's so early on, like we really don't know shit. But it was a long episode, but I think it was a solid introduction to a really, really promising cast.
Yeah, I was so excited when I heard that they were finally going to do some sort of like non-binary or, you know, non-traditional Are You the One. I actually first found out from a friend of mine. He's like currently in LA right now trying to make it as, you know, actor / music person. And his agent sent him to the casting call and everything. Or no, actually no, they MTV actually scouted him out, and his agents like advised him against it. And I was like, my friend, like, who I know to be not straight, I was like, wait a second, how are you going to go on that show? Because you're not. And then I looked up the little news feed, and I was like, oh, so I was psyched when I heard that.
I hope it introduces a lot more people to the show that, and I hope it opens up a lot of new types of people on TV to people who might not be used to it. So it's all, like I said, I think we hit on the head. This season's about learning, and it's about introducing so many different sexualities and genders and people who are non-binary to people who might not be familiar with that. And it's all about acceptance and growing and learning. So, and we're going to see a bunch of drunk people act stupid along the way. I think it's a perfect combination.
Most perfect combination. I'm like actually hoping that I run into Remy this weekend. Like,
yes. Oh my God. You could do an onsite interview. Okay. So we have a few questions, and Allie, still making her way on the podcast somehow, actually got these for me from the patron group. I think I'll be added soon, so I'll be able to do it. But thank you, Allie, the former co-host there, no, former, she was former host of seven seasons. So she's a veteran. So thank you, Allie. Now, Nick Fishman said, oh my God, the math and statistics will be even more hectic. I love it. He said, I do wonder if the cast will be told any details to the effect of at least one or two of each types of pair matchups, or if it's no extra detail since we could see very small beams or blackouts. I think they're not going to get any more information than they have. I think it's going to be, these people are going to be given that, okay, any of these other 15 people could be your match, and that is it, which makes way more room for error, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, I don't see them doing that either, because I kind of like, you know, you kind of take away the whole part of what's making this so novel of a season.
Exactly.
Like, don't give them any special treatment. Like, I need them to suffer. Come on.
Exactly. I think that's the perfect thing. Like, nobody's like the whole, at the end of the day, I think the show is about showing how we're all so similar. Despite how different we are, we're all so similar. So nobody's getting anything extra. You got to figure your shit out, just like every season's got to figure their shit out, and you probably won't because you're all idiots. But still, yep. That's the beauty of the show. Mm-hmm. Now, we got Susie Ann says, she doesn't have a question, but, and this is, I love this comment, but seeing Jenna helping Kai with his tee shot warmed my big queer heart. I went to college with Kai, and now I'm a social worker working with queer and trans youth, and I'm so happy my trans, transmasc babies, yes. Yeah, I sounded it out. I get to see someone like them on TV having such a sweet moment. That's amazing. First of all, Susie Ann, that's so cool what you're doing. It's amazing that you're giving back, and being a social worker is no easy feat, so good for you. But we talked about that moment. It was phenomenal. I think we covered it all earlier in the podcast, but great moment all around.
Yes, I agree. And that's awesome that you actually went to school with Kai. So it's nice to like sort of like have like a personal connection, yes, to the show. So
I'm for
kudos
it.
To, yes, you. Hopefully, hopefully she doesn't cause you too much strife, because she caused me, yes, shock at this episode.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay, so then we got a question from Allie Lasher. Okay. Does the cast know who's picking each night? It kind of seemed like they weren't sure which eight of them would be choosing the match at the ceremony. Does it feel like the producers have too much control now? I definitely don't think they knew who was picking who. It seemed like Max kind of went out and threw his went with Justin. That was a little off the beaten path there. And I also think that obviously we saw that Jasmine picked Jenna, and that was not expected. Now, for the second question, do you think that the producers have too much control, Amon? How do you feel about that?
I think that probably at some points of the season, probably more so in the beginning of the season than the end, because, you know, yep, they want to make the show last. You don't want too many couples to find each other, because then it takes the suspense away. So, yeah, I definitely think that they're, you know, sort of, you know, probably trying to nudge them in different kinds of directions at the beginning of the show. And then once you get more towards the end, and the, you know, franticness for the money starts to seep in, I think that they don't really have to do too much, because now the characters are, yep, already worked up. So, yeah, I don't know if it's too much control. I just think maybe it's just control in a different way this season, because it's such a different kind of season.
I agree. I'm definitely on the same page with that. I think that every reality show, the producers are going to have control. I think that as we go, they'll start to kind of loosen up a bit. But I think as of now, I don't think there's too much control from the producers, but we'll see. So now we get to the point where I think Allie used to say, go give this a 5-star rating, the reality TV wrap up podcast. Go on iTunes, wherever you rate your podcast. I don't know. Give it a 5-star rating. We'll definitely go through the comments. Ashley, Allie's going to show me exactly how to do that. And so I could read them next for our next show. Amon, where could people find you on social media?
You can find me at Amon Adwin on Twitter, you know.
And you better follow Amon for the Big Brother season. You better.
Yeah, I'm always on there, you know, talking shit.
You might be the most popular non-Big Brother house guest, that person never played Big Brother, to tweet about Big Brother. I feel like if you go on the BB21 hashtag, you will see Amon within 3 seconds.
Listen, I honestly, when I was doing, oh my goodness, he's going to kill me if he listened to this podcast, and I forget his name, but I did a podcast with Rob. And, oh my God, I can't remember his name. I feel so bad, but it was I did a podcast with Rob covering Survivor. I think it was the, This Week in Survivor History, and the fellow.
Oh, Jordan Kalish.
There it is. I knew it was Jordan, but I can't remember the last name. Yes. Jordan Kalish. And when he told, when he said to me, he was like, I thought that Amon was already on Big Brother.
Yes.
I was like,
yes, I listened to that
shit.
One. Yes, and I remember, because when you just said that, it just clicked. I remember listening to that, and he was like, I thought you were, because he watched Big Brother, he thought you were Big Brother house guest. Now, that is the highest sort of compliments for a Big Brother fan. But you follow him on, make sure that, I don't tweet about Are You The One. I don't think you do either. I don't think following us is going to get you any more Are You The One knowledge, just making that very clear.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any problem, like, you know, whenever I can live tweet in a couple of episodes. So, I mean, you know, if you're a Big Brother fan, of course, you'll want to follow me. If you're strictly here for the Are You The One,
follow anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Get those numbers up. You can follow me at Adam Bongo on Twitter. That's what I should tweet more. I don't. Anyway, thank you, Amon, for joining me for this first podcast. We'll be back next week. To continue to talk about this clusterfuck of a show. Thank you, everyone, and we will see you next time.